in and kind of the over prediction of the weather people that we'd have 6 inches of snow. We were in the men's study yesterday wondering, well, what if we only have 8 people here? Well, we have more than 8, John. Isn't that great? Thank you. That's really good. We were praying about that. And it reminded me of the first time, very first time I ever preached at Acts 2 Church. It was about 3 years ago, and probably none of you remember it. It wasn't a memorable sermon, I'm sure. But for some reason, it was 10 degrees below zero, I remember. And somebody was loading something into the auditorium, and so this garage door was open, like, all morning. And al fresco, you know, during 10 degrees below zero. So it was pretty chilly in here. And we turned on all the heaters and everything, got it up to about 45 degrees. But not that way this morning. It's nice and toasty in here, isn't it? Nobody's, right? Good. So thank you for taking care of that. Next Sunday, we're going to start our Advent series, and that's a family participation thing. So you'll look forward to that. We'll be lighting Advent candles leading up to our big Christmas Eve service on December 24th. But this Sunday, I'm really pleased to introduce Mike Gochnauer, who is here to preach for us, and we are considering him to be called to be the pastor at the A2 Church. And let me just introduce him a little bit. Mike is a local boy, grew up in this area, and became a Christian and has contacts with Calvary Christian Church, one of our sister churches here in the area. And our paths have crossed a number of different times in different ways. He was a student for a while at Nebraska Christian College, and I got to know him and really appreciate him at that time. And he's here to share a message from God's Word and from his heart, so we get to know him a little bit better today. After the service this morning, we'll have a time that we can talk a little bit more, and you can ask Mike. His wife Erin is here. Also, a little bit of fellowship time afterwards, so be willing to stick around for that. It'll be great. But would you welcome Mike to our pulpit this morning?
Can you hear me okay? How about now? No, a little bit better? Okay. Do you mind if I come down? Come down a little bit? There's one thing that you'll kind of get to learn about me is that I don't really like talking from stage. And it's because I'm just a regular guy like you guys. A regular human being like everybody sitting here. You know, so I never want to feel like I'm talking down to you. I want to be down here with everybody else. I just want to thank everybody for inviting me to come in and share some of my story, share some of my path, and share how God has been working in my life just with everybody this morning. And I'm really excited to be here. And it's warm in here, that's for sure. It's not as warm as it is over in the conference room, but it's definitely nice and toasty in here. Before we get started too much, if you don't mind, I'd like to just pray for the message this morning. Father God, we just come before you and first and foremost give thanks. We give thanks that that we were able to make it here safely this morning, despite the treachery outside. God, that we ask that your Holy Spirit be present this morning, dwell in our hearts, stir us from the inside. God, as we hear about your word, we hope, we pray, we ask that we learn something this morning that leads us in a new path, one that leads us directly to you. God, we thank you so much again for everything you provide us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I stand before you this morning, as Dr. Krause kind of shared a little bit. I'm a product of love. You know, many of you might be thinking, okay, well, we've got a lot of products of love with us this morning. But so not quite, you know, what you may be thinking. Yes, you know, I'm a product of my mother and my father, but I'm a product of love. And I'm going to share about what that means. You know, and it really kind of goes back to a lot of my childhood. You know, I did not grow up in the church. I did not grow up with any kind of Christian influence other than, you know, maybe a handful of Catholic funerals or weddings. that I encountered. So I had no influence. I remember once, actually, when I was a kid, I grew up in a little small town, Murray, Beaver Lake, Nahaka area. But I was living in Nahaka at the time, town of, a couple hundred people. Well, what we did for fun is we rode our bikes around town, right? This was before there was a lot of the fear of just sending the kids out of the neighborhood, and we were in a small town. But I remember there was one summer that a couple of my friends were going to VBS at a church there in Nahaka. And so I do remember that experience, but it had nothing to do with learning about Christ or what they were teaching. Everything I remember about that experience was that I was able to go into the basement that was typically off limits to anybody. And so I went to VBS because they opened up the basement for the kids, and so it gave me an opportunity to see that there really were no monsters down there, that it was a safe space. But fast forward my life, a lot of things that I started traveling down as far as a teenager, the things I started pursuing, that bled into my adult life. And this was before I knew Christ. And so I look back and I can see really God was at work in my life the whole time. I was just disobeying. I just was not opening my eyes and allowing him to work in my life. And so, when I started into the work life, I spent a number of years in the financial industry. I worked at a place called TD Ameritrade. Some of you might be familiar with it. But I got so caught up on the things that Scripture tells us is worldly. I was chasing after promotions. I was chasing after relationships. I was chasing after my own glory, things that money could buy, things that the world tells me that I need to be successful, that I was leading a broken, a lost, a lifestyle that you probably see in people around you. But it was one that left me empty, one that left me desiring more. And so, as I'd conquer the next thing, shortly after that, I would just feel empty again, and I'd want to conquer the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And that left me caught in the world. That left me caught in this brokenness. And so I stand up here and say that I'm a product of love, and I'm going to share more about that. This product of love comes a lot more from just Jesus. I was shown Jesus because of the love in my life. And my beautiful wife, Erin, here we've been married going on 11 years, a little over 11 years now. We've been dating for 17 almost. And I can't believe she's put up with me for that long. Love wins, I can promise you that. But she was... She showed me love and a forgiveness and a mercy and grace despite all the things that I was pursuing. She was the first real display of Christ in my life. She was the first glimpse of love that led me to Christ. And so I owe this path, this journey, I owe a lot of it to her being a part of my life. Even back when we first started dating, and Erin grew up in the church, and she says, if we're going to do this, if we're going to really date, you need to come to church with me. And despite, I wanted the girl, so of course I went, but my eyes were closed off. My heart was blocked off until I realized, the brokenness and the things that I was chasing after. And she was there to help put together the pieces. And so I wonder, sometimes if there's others like me. And I know there is. I see it all around me. I see it all in the news. And I wonder if we ever get stuck in this kind of mindset where, I'm too broken, I'm too lost, I'm too far gone. I'm just too far separated from God to be able to know what love really is. And I thought I was there, you know, so much so that that I had moments in my life before I accepted Christ where I thought that the easiest way to rectify the brokenness in my life was just if I wasn't here anymore. If I had just removed my life from earth, you know, the people around me would be so much better. You know, of course, I've got the little angel on my shoulder telling me otherwise. Saying, no, you know, that's going to cause more hurt. You just need to do things differently. And so in my most broken moment of my life, the moment where I thought I was lost, too far gone, you know, I just remember sitting on the ground and weeping. And Aaron had some family in town, and they've been some great spiritual guides in her life, and they just happened to be in town at that moment and said, no, there is a better way. There is a better way. There is, if you choose to do things differently, you can reconcile these relationships. If you choose to accept the love and forgiveness that is Christ, you can go a new direction and reconcile relationships that you thought were too far broken. And so out of love, someone shared with me the love and hope found in Jesus. And as I was thinking about, how much I'm going to share and things like that this morning, I was reminded of 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so as I was kind of working through my story and thinking about my journey and how I've been led here, November 25th, 2018, to stand in front of A2 Church, I couldn't help but just go back to this. I am a product of love. I am a product of love. And so as I was looking at the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, this word love just kept getting stuck within me. This word love just kept becoming the theme of what we're talking about. And so, you know, I came to this conclusion. You know, out of love, God sent his son, right? So as the ultimate act of love, Jesus was sent to earth to receive punishment that we rightfully earn, so we didn't have to endure that, so we can be forgiven. All we have to do is believe. And so out of love, God sent his son. In love, we had some family there sharing to me about this love. And I couldn't help but just weep in that moment because I, all of a sudden, you know, the weights of life just felt like they were coming off of me. The burdens of being a man wanting to try to fix things, even though, you know, I didn't have the answers to fix all the things that I had done. I was just there and said, God, if you show me a better way, I promise to serve you. I promise to do it your way. And so, you know, 8-9 years ago, if someone would have told me that I was going to be on a path towards ministry, I would have told them they're absolutely crazy and that they probably make pills for that sort of thing. But love has guided me. Love has changed my life. You know, so I surrendered to Christ being my guide. I surrendered to Scripture. I surrendered towards the life that I was called to live, that I was called to lead. And so, of course, you know, we see all throughout Scripture, you know, we see displays and demonstrations and accounts of love all over Scripture. And so as I was kind of processing through my story and processing through what I was going to share with you guys today, you know, I couldn't help but think about Luke chapter 7, the sinful woman that encountered Jesus one night. And so this story or this account coming from Scripture. It starts in Luke 7, verses, I believe it's verse 32, but it's where Jesus is anointed by a sinful woman. And so to kind of set up the story a little bit, context with it, Jesus was out, he's performing miracles. And we know that the religious leaders at the time were the Pharisees. And so there was a Pharisee, his name was Simon, that he invited Jesus over to his home. I imagine, Scripture doesn't specifically say, but I imagine it's probably a dinner meal or something along those lines. But he invited Jesus to come over his home. Well, he had a curiosity of what Jesus was doing. We knew the Pharisees opposed what Jesus was doing, what he was going around preaching. He was preaching that he was the Son of God, that he was bringing forgiveness. They opposed him. And so it's funny because here we see a guy that was part of a group that clearly opposed what Jesus was doing. But they say curiosity kills the cat. I couldn't help but imagine the curiosity that came over Simon, this Pharisee. He invited Jesus over so he could, get to know what is the deal with this Jesus guy. And so, as the Scripture is telling us in this moment, there's an unwanted guest that shows up. Scripture calls her an immoral woman or a sinful woman. But Simon's reaction to this was definitely speaks volumes of where his heart was at and where the group of Pharisees were that opposed him. He was disgusted that this woman showed up unannounced just to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And so what Scripture tells us about this woman is that she's weeping, she's getting down on her hands and feet, and she's cleaning off Jesus' feet. She's cleaning them with her tears. Her tears are just falling off her face onto Jesus' feet. And it says, that she took her hair then and started using that to wipe the tears off. If you think about that time, we didn't have nice Nikes or snow boots or anything like that. They used some homemade sandals maybe, or barefoot, and they used the same paths that were used to transport animals and that sort of thing. And so if anybody's ever been a part of a farming operation before, you step in a lot of muck. And so it is very likely that Jesus walked around in these same conditions. And so the stuff that he has on his feet would be pretty disgusting. And so think about here we are in 2018, how, washing each other's feet just is kind of disgusting, right? Like it just the thought of being disgusting. But in this time, they did that as a sign of respect. They did it when they entered in to homes, kind of an honor to their guest. Well, the Pharisee didn't do that. Simon didn't offer to do this for Jesus at all. And so as Simon is just sitting there and he's just disgusted with what's going on, he's first disgusted that this woman showed up unannounced. He's disgusted that she's doing this for Jesus. Jesus knows what he's thinking. Jesus knows what's going through Simon's mind and heart. And so Jesus shares a story with Simon. And it's funny because, the Pharisees, they were pretty wrapped up in money. And so Jesus shares a story about money because he knows it's going to relate to Simon. And so he shares a story about two people that take out loans. One's a fairly small loan and one's a significant loan. But the story as Jesus is telling it, he says neither one of them were able to pay back the loans. But in Scripture, in Luke 7, verse 42, this is what Jesus tells Simon. He says, "But neither of them could repay it. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. And he asked, who do you suppose loved him more after that? And so as he's telling the story about to the Pharisee, who clearly relates to money, he tells them, neither one of them could repay this loan, repay these debts. And so the debtor, you know, the one that loaned the money, forgave them kindly, canceling their debts. And he asked them, who supposed loved him more after that? Well, Simon wisely responded, you know, as a guy that relates to money, he says, well, surely the one with the larger debt, right? He is going to be the one that loves the forgiveness more. And so Jesus kind of ties it back together. And he really laid it on Simon then. You know, he told him about how the woman, who was very well known to be a sinful woman, very well known to be immoral, understood more about God's grace than Simon did. You know, a religious leader. He shared with him about the extravagant love, the extravagant affection that was being shown to Jesus by this sinful woman, and how that displayed her faith more so, or her faith in the love of Christ, than the religious leader. As we continue on to the story in wrapping up towards the end of chapter 7, you know, around verse 49-50, Jesus tells the woman, you are forgiven. He tells the woman, your sins are forgiven. And then he continues on and says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, Jesus in this moment was giving love to the woman, but he was also displaying love to someone that didn't understand it. You know, Scripture doesn't necessarily tell us what happened to Simon the Pharisee from there, but nonetheless, Jesus displayed love to him and showed him what grace looks like in an attempt or in a hope that he would accept what Jesus was coming to offer. Knowing what we know about the Pharisees, it's a good possibility that Simon didn't necessarily change his ways. But Scripture doesn't tell us, so we can only speculate. So I don't know where you may be this morning. You know, I don't know where your hearts, where your lives, I don't know where you are yet because I don't know you very well. I look forward to that. But I personally can tell you that I related to that sinful woman. In my moment of knowing the life that I was leading, I just wept. I wept. And when I finally heard about Jesus, I felt him tell me, your sins are forgiven. I felt him tell me that his love for me is leading me a new direction. That his love for me is meant to be better in my marriage, is meant to be better in my friendships, is meant to be better in my in all my life. And so as I stand here and say that I'm a product of love, love brought me to this moment right now. Love brought me down the snowy path of Highway 6 this morning. I had to stand here and share with you some of my story. So again, I don't know where you are this morning. You know, you might be relating to the Pharisee. But I urge you to witness this display of love that Jesus gives to us all throughout Scripture. And consider, open your heart to what he's trying to reveal to you. There are so many questions that as I kind of thought about this idea of love, You know, I thought of the question, well, what can love do? Well, I've been a personal, my personal story has shown me that love can do anything. And so, yeah, I quickly threw away that question and said, well, what can't love do? There is nothing that love cannot do. And so I just urge you this morning. I urge you this morning, if you have not yet received the love of Christ, consider it. If you don't know what it looks like in your life, there are people all around you. There are elders here at the church, Dr. Krause. There are people all around you. Ask them what love could look like in your life. Reach out to them. Open your eyes to what love can do in your life. If there's a strained relationship that you have, whether it's immediate family or distant family or just a friendship, love can reconcile that. If you feel that you're too far lost, you're too far gone, you're too far broken, Christ came for you. Christ came to show you love, to reconcile that, to let you know deep inside that there is no such thing as too far gone, too far lost, too far broken. So maybe you're in a place where you know that you've been going down a wrong path, that maybe at one point you were all in for Jesus, but for some reason, some temptation maybe led you in another direction, the pursuit of conquering another promotion or a raise or something like that. I don't know. But Christ's love can help bring you back. His love showed me the narrow path, as Scripture calls it. His love has shown me forgiveness when I veered. You know, don't get me wrong. You know, I come down here and want to stand on the same level as all you because, you know, things happen. You know, I was coming in this morning and there was a gentleman driving on a perfectly fine road with very little ice or snow or anything on it. It was just wet, like it had been raining. And he's going 25 miles an hour under the speed limit. Trust me, there was a little bit of frustration that crept in. And so, yeah, I can sometimes get those moments. But Christ's love bring me back to the narrow path. Christ's love leads me to ask for forgiveness, to letting anger maybe creep into my heart. I encourage you to reach out to the elders, minister, the other ministry leaders here. If you don't know the path to get corrected, if you don't know what to do to help understand how love can reconcile your life, get connected into the men's group. Get connected with the ladies. Get connected with another set of group of couples and start a small group. We're meant to do this life together. And sharing our personal stories is how we help others understand that that love is for them too. You know, the bottom line is this. God's love is freely given to us through Christ. God's love is freely given to us through the sacrifice that Jesus was for each and every one of us so we could receive this love. So we could see an ultimate act of love that no earthly parent will ever understand. God's love is given freely to us, and it comes with other gifts: forgiveness, mercy, grace. Those things are needed. Those things were needed for me to be able to understand that my life has purpose, that my life has meaning, that my life has love in it that I didn't necessarily always embrace. And so through your belief in Christ, His life, and the resurrection, Scripture tells us that you too can receive this love and be saved. Jesus Himself, when tested, when the Pharisees ask Him, well, what are the greatest commandments? Trying to get him to trip up. Jesus himself tried to simplify this by saying the two greatest commandments are to love God and love others. Paraphrase, of course. So we're in this together. Jesus himself given us the calling to love God and love others. So we're in this together. And when we're founded in this love, when we're rooted, deeply rooted in this love that is Jesus, there isn't anything that love can't do in your life. There isn't anything that love can't do right here in this community, right here through Acts 2 Church. You know, so I stand before you again to proclaim that I am a product of love. That love guided me here this morning. Love had guided me from a life that that I led previous of knowing Christ. If he can lead me out of that, I know that there's nothing that he can't do in your lives as well. And so his love can absolutely do anything. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you and give thanks. We give gratitude. In this season of Thanksgiving, God, we give thanks for your love and your son, Jesus. Without Jesus, God, there is no purpose. But God, you sent your son to receive my punishment. God, so I could receive your love. God, you are so good. All the time, you are so good. We give thanks for this building, this heat, this wonderful worship to praise you this morning. God, guide us together. Let us see that your love can reconcile any brokenness in our lives if we just surrender to you. So God, I know, God, that there are hearts out here this morning that need to hear this. There are hearts that need to understand this. There are lives, God, that need to see you revealed in their lives. God, so I just pray that you reveal however we can best relate to you. Each individual sitting here today, God, let you be revealed how they can relate to you. God, let them be open to seeing that, to hearing that, and moving in a new direction, just like the sinful woman. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.